Minnesota Twins offseason grades, his favorite addition, the subtractions, an offseason recap with Matt Braun. It's coming up next on today's episode of Locked On Twins.
You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Thursday, February 16th, and I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. Thanks for making Locked On Twins your first listen every single day on the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. Again, this is Nash Walker. I've been hosting a daily show for four off seasons. Been writing about the Twins at twinsdaily.com for four off seasons. And Matt Braun is supposed to be here. He's gonna be here. He's coming in. It was a black screen there for a minute. Matt Braun's coming in to recap the offseason here for the Twins, his offseason grade, what he thought of the additions, the subtractions. And there he is. He made it, folks. He made it. We're so glad. We got some technical problems there, but he's back. Matt, how are you, brother? And how's it going up there out west?
Well, I got a little introspective just staring into the darkness for about a good 30 seconds there.
Same.
But hey, I'm doing fine. Not too much. You know, whenever you live in Washington State, everyone, all they ever talk about is the damn rain. Actually hasn't rained too much lately. Got a minimal amount of vitamin D the other day. So, hey, you know, that's all I can ask for. We're chilling.
Atrocious winter in Minnesota. It's been atrociously bad. Cold, icy, snow, brutal winter. So just be glad you were not here for this winter. It was bad. The Twins had an active winter. Matt, I don't know if you've kept up, but the Minnesota Twins have been making some moves. And we had Matt on to recap some of them. Last year, Matt came on in the heart of the Donaldson trade, which at the time felt like it was a seismic shift of the roster. And it was, because ultimately it led to Carlos Correa, then the re-signing of Carlos Correa potentially. So that night shaped the future of the Minnesota Twins. Now we're back with Matt to kind of assess what has happened. And I want to ask you, Matt, right off the top, what would you give this offseason grade for the Twins? You have the Correa addition, the Luis Arraez subtraction, Pablo Lopez is in, Christian Vasquez is in, Joey Gallo, Michael A. Taylor, Kyle Farmer, all in. Jose Salas as a prospect is in. I'm missing some for sure. They've been active. How would you grade this offseason?
Tough break for Christian Vasquez. Ouch. There it was. You know, I'd have to say around a B+ or so. I can see, you know, maybe they could have added another reliever with a bit more of a track record, so I could see why you're a little bit hesitant to really push them up and say it's A+ and no, it's A all the way, but it's hard to ignore that they've added depth and they've added quality veteran players at positions that they've struggled with whenever injuries take their toll, and they've realized that now, and they've gone out and they said, hey, let's not hemorrhage wins and send the Jake Cave experience out there for 50 games. Let's get a quality major league player who we know can fill that gap. Maybe not win you so many games, but they're not going to lose you too many games. So because of that, I have to say I'm pretty satisfied. I'm genuinely excited to see how this season plays out. I'll say that, genuinely excited.
I'm also in the B+, A- range, I think, for the offseason. It's hard. I want to ask you this too, because I think about it as you were talking, I was thinking, and I wonder, would you bump it into the A range if the Twins had traded prospects for Pablo Lopez instead of Luis Arraez? And it matters who those guys are. But if Luis Arraez was still on the roster, we're thinking about 2023 specifically, would you have bumped it up, or does it stay at a B+?
That's a really interesting question. I'm not sure how much it would change or if it would change, because I think one of the interesting things about that trade specifically is that, you know, we focused a lot on Luis Arraez and Pablo Lopez, but as you mentioned again, hey, Jose Salas is also in this deal. Byron Cherio as well. Salas is the main prospect. That's not nothing, right? You're talking about a guy who I think has slid in basically top 8, top 10 into basically every prospect list. So to look at it from a purely 2023 perspective, yes, if you had prospects instead of Luis Arraez, it would be better for that year. But to look at it as like a holistic, how much better did the franchise get? I think that it wouldn't change too much because they really did well in that, and they were able to supplement not just for now, but also plan a little bit for the future. And you know, Luis Arraez, tremendous player. We already broke this down in enough depth, so we don't have to go too much into it. But I'm pretty good with that trade. I really like what they did.
We're getting some videos out of spring training out of Fort Myers. Pablo Lopez pulling up in Pagoda's projection system, and Pagoda's from Baseball Prospectus, and we like to look at this every single year. It's a huge spreadsheet for those who don't know. It's got like hitting projections, pitching projections. They're split up. There's always a surprise. And last year for me, one of the biggest surprises is they had Joe Ryan as like one of the best pitchers in the American League as a projection. And I thought, that's amazing. That would be amazing. This year, Joe's a little bit further down from where he was last year, but he's still in a good range. Pablo Lopez is projected to be the Twins' most valuable pitcher. And Matt, he's in the Christian Javier range. He's right around there with like Julio Urias. It's like that 15 to 25 range of starting pitchers for most valuable projections for 2023. Do you think that overall, Twins fans, at least in the reactions you've seen or like just in how he's evaluated, do you think he's undervalued generally?
Oh, I think absolutely so. I think he's a tough one to crack because he's sort of in this sphere of you can see outlines of his profile and you can see bits and pieces that make you go, hey, this guy's really going to be a stud. But he just hasn't quite, you know, put it all together for even though I'm trying to avoid the cliches. I mean, he hasn't. No, if he could combine the efficiency of 2021 with the innings of 2022, you got yourself an all-star pitcher, but he hasn't quite done that yet. But like I said, those are there. The fastball, I think, is workable. The changeup is just tremendous. And he's got other measurables that you could really look at and say, hey, a touch two, touch here, touch there. You could really morph this guy into becoming a top tier starting pitcher, something that is hard to come by. I think he's a little underrated. If he's your number one or number two guy, you're not doing too bad. Don't know how many playoff games you'll win. That's another discussion we can have, but I think you're going to win at least, you know, 85, 90 games in the regular season. And from there you can, you know, move on and do whatever you want. So yeah, I think he's still a little bit underrated by most Twins fans.
More from Pagoda Zips. Matt's thoughts. He says he's excited. He's simply excited for the season. I want to hear more on that. But first, a word from our partner, FanDuel. FanDuel is the fastest and easiest way to make all your bets. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. You can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. It's the midway point of the NBA season. Now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. So head on over to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. Matt Braun back with us. And if you're going to make Locked On Twins your first listen, you better make Locked On Prospects your second listen with host Lindsey Crosby. He's a prospect encyclopedia. He's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. A take that Lindsey had, Matt. He said Edouard Julian is going to be better than Luis Arraez. That was from our prospect guy at Locked On. Let's chat about Julian for a second because I've seen some, there's already been like this steam, I feel like, or this feeling. Hey, if he has a big spring, potentially can make the opening day roster. Hey, if he has a couple strong weeks in St. Paul to kick off the season, he's going to be up with the Twins for a majority of it. Where do you stand today on Ed Julian and his role this summer?
Well, that's a spicier take than I care to, pull out. But I will say I'm a big Edouard Julian fan as a hitter. I mean, you look at his profile and it's just like, I don't really know what else you need from him. last year, really, not 2022, but 2021, didn't quite have the batting average that you'd like to see, but really bumped that back up. And he just gets on base a ton, and the power is there. I feel incredibly confident that he's going to hit at the very least at a major league level, maybe even better, probably even better, let's say. The question, though, always is where does he play defensively? Because you could say, hey, let's stick him at second base. You're going to hemorrhage runs there, though. He really hasn't developed enough, I don't think, to become even like an acceptably below average fielder there, which is unfortunate. So, yeah, his bat's going to be great. But the question's going to be where do you have the opportunity to play him? And they have, 3,000 left-handed hitting outfielders. So it's going to be easy for him to break through that group. But that being said, I do fully agree. I think he should have been up last year to some degree. You can't even say it was like 40 man reasons because they had to add him to the 40 man roster this offseason. So he'll definitely be up soon, probably even May, April-ish. I wouldn't be surprised.
You mentioned that glut of left-handed outfielders. Something the Twins, you're a prospect guy, you followed the system for a while, you know their tendencies, and we've watched their drafts and how they develop guys. Position hasn't been a priority for them. Like, you look at their picks, like, I don't think they worry about that first. I think their first question is, can you hit? And we'll figure out a spot for you. But then this offseason, the major league roster philosophy has clearly been, let's add some depth to the roster, but let's add it defensively. Like Michael A. Taylor, Joey Gallo. I think you have to view Joey Gallo as a glove first guy at this point. Michael A. Taylor, certainly. Kyle Farmer is a good shortstop, probably a really good third baseman if he played there regularly. So what's your take on that, Matt? That it's like this split philosophy. Do you think it's changing, or do you think, like, have they realized we don't want all these positionless prospects? We don't want all these positionless players on our roster. Hence maybe why they traded Luis Arraez, or partly why they traded Luis Arraez.
That could be it, because I definitely know I've come onto the show and I've complained, let's call it complained, about how they do seem to have a glut of younger players who come up, and yeah, they can technically play second base, as in, like, I can technically play second base, but it's like, you don't really want to see a guy there for, right, for that long. So yeah, I mean, that could be it. You just take your guys when you take them, because you like them generally as, say, like a raw package. And then, you know, you let the chips fall where they are. But I think they saw if you try and do that at the major league level, you're going to end up playing some real ugly baseball. So yeah, I guess that probably has changed. Definitely at the major league level. I don't know if I could comment too much on the minors. I haven't noticed that being somewhere they change. I do think they like to prioritize, like you said, what's your complete ideal, like, power package, right? Like, if this player hits his 90th or 99th, you know, wherever he's going to go, how high is that power going to be? Because they have so many guys. I mean, Sabato and who was the shortstop? I can't think of it. Keone Kvaeko. They didn't work out. But then you're looking right now, you got Jose Rodriguez, who I'm pretty sure still is 17, which is stupid. Yasir Mercedes. Emmanuel Rodriguez was slugging like 600, before he got injured. You know, they're really focused on, hey, let's get guys who can crush the ball out of the ballpark. We'll fit them in when we have to. We'll worry about that later, you know?
There's a fine line between positional flexibility and no position. You could say Edward Julian. Oh, Ed Julian's got position flexibility. He can play second. He can play left field. No, it's because he can't play anything, right? That's like, what's the line there? I think for the Twins, they've tiptoed that line with these prospects, and maybe even with their top prospects, you know, with Royce Lewis or Brooks Lee or guys we're going to see, like, is it flexibility, or is it they just can't stick at their original position?
Well, it's also an incredibly difficult. I mean, we talk about this, but to actually try and not just be the player who's an excellent two-way player, but to try to identify guys that you think are going to be excellent two-way players, it's maybe up there with, like, finding top-tier starting pitching, like, the hardest thing to do in baseball. So when you see a team like the Houston Astros, who have such great hitters and fielders, that's a rarity. That's such a unique outlier skill that it's like, it's hard to even dog the Twins for not having it, because it's like, there's only like one or two teams
I'm going to finish his line. Consistently pump out players on both sides of the ball. We're going to wait for Matt to come back. He's got some internet troubles here on his side of the stream. I think we're going to kick him and he'll come back. That point was profound. He was making profound points there. Matt, I was just hyping up your takes.
Did no one catch any of that? Did we drop before that?
So we missed like the last 5 seconds. You said teams that consistently pump out and then you cut.
Oh, shoot. Well, for dramatic effect, let's leave it at that. Maybe.
It was excellent. It was excellent. Matt, you mentioned the two-way players. Twins, it's hard to identify, but they did add Carlos Correa, and he is that guy. You know, he's one of the best two-way players in baseball at his best, and we hope Byron Buxton is that guy. Christian Vasquez is somebody. If Christian Vasquez had not had that second half slump with the Astros offensively, I think I would be a lot more excited about the signing, but it shouldn't matter that much. Like, that part of the season shouldn't matter to me as much as I think just recency bias is in my brain, because I think of Christian Vasquez as one of the best two-way catchers in baseball. I think the Christian Vasquez signing could be one of the more underrated of the offseason for any team.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just as much as I deeply apologize for anyone who followed me on Twitter from about like 2019 through 2021. I was the biggest Jason Castro fan, maybe to even walk the planet, because to have an excellent defensive catcher who can hit even just like the most minute, like 90 WRC plus, like we're scraping average right here, to have that kind of player, dude, that's stupid valuable. Like, that is that, that's a guy. I don't have the splits on me at hand, but I'm pretty sure the Twins won like the vast majority of games that Castro was starting. And it's not because he was lighting the world on fire offensively. It's because he was manning an incredibly demanding defensive position while also providing even just adequate offense. And that's something that, like you said, I think Vasquez does tremendously well. So it wouldn't surprise me if he goes above and beyond, supplies just an enormous amount of value for them at catcher. And I think he's a great pairing with Jeffers as well. I think they're really going to be set for the next few years there.
I love the look up the middle with Vasquez and Correa, and hypothetically with Buxton and Taylor in center. Just defensively, it raises your floor as a unit. Looking at the rest of this division, Matt, it was an interesting offseason for every team in the Central. Every team kind of had like a semi-prominent move. Cleveland added Josh Bell. The White Sox added Andrew Benintendi. The Twins had the most active offseason, you know, adding Lopez and Correa. They win that by default. The other two, the Royals and Tigers, did basically nothing. What is your take on the offseason overall in the American League Central outside of Minnesota?
You know exactly what you're doing with this question. I see through it. There is the tee is right here. We are putting the ball right on that tee.
Yes.
All right. Let's dunk on the White Sox. Let's do it. No, I'll save them for last. It's like, if you try to draw up, like, in theory, what is the most like standard offseason for each team in the AL Central, it would be exactly what each team did this offseason, like to a tee. Cleveland, they did their thing. They got Josh Bell. Yeah. Okay. They're going to win 85 games, at the very least, with pitchers you've never heard of who are just stupid, disgusting. The Royals, I was actually quite surprised they just dumped Adalberto Mondesi like out of nowhere, right? That felt so strange. But, you know, they have to figure out their own stuff. I get why they weren't as active. They fired Cal Eldritch, which automatically adds like 5 wins to them. And Vinny Pasquantino is going to murder the division. Oh, God, he's a monster. He's so good. Buy your stocks now, people, if you haven't already. The Tigers, God bless them. I don't know what they're doing. And the White Sox, again, God bless them. I don't know what they're doing. What I think is going to be the most interesting thing, and what actually surprisingly I haven't seen a whole lot of people talk about, is that it probably matters less this year. No, it doesn't probably. It definitely matters less this year about what the rest of your division's doing because of this homogenized schedule, right? No longer are you going to be able to just beat up on the dredges in the bottom of the AL Central. You got to play, you know, the meanies in the NL East now, or excuse me, in the NL West as well. So while you're still going to be battling against these guys for who's going to be first, who's going to be getting wild cards and whatnot, you're not going to be battling them head to head. So I don't know how that's going to play out. Don't know what that's going to look like, but I definitely think it's going to be changing this dynamic a little bit.
If you're interested in more from Matt about 2023, we're going to have Team MVP, Team Cy Young, Team Rookie of the Year. All of that is going to be dropping on Friday's episode. We're going to finish up on our offseason chat here. We got his grade. So Matt's in that B-plus range. I'm in that B-plus, A-minus range. One thing that has not changed for this front office this offseason, and I'm glad you touched on a little earlier, is the bullpen. Just nothing. They didn't add a single veteran piece to the bullpen. I mean, they had AJ Alexi for like 2 days. He's now in the White Sox org, so we would wish him the best. And I think they added another reliever from Anaheim. They're adding these minor league relievers on NRIs or non-rosters, and they didn't add anybody, any veteran bullpen help. Do you think their bullpen's okay, Matt? And is that going to be something they regret?
Before I get skinned alive for this, I think they're fine. Let's clear the table and let's say that relievers are freaking weird in that I don't understand them. You don't understand them. I think someone in the comments of one of my latest article put it precisely when they said the issue is relievers. Well, you can grade everyone else like on a normal, like this guy's an A, this guys a C. Relievers, it's almost always pass fail, right? You either did the job or you didn't. And because it's that extreme dichotomy, it makes it so hard to judge them. But I look at the group and I see, okay, you got Yonder Ron, who is going to melt faces. And he's just incredible. And add as many other adjectives as you want. They're all accurate. He's going to be awesome. And then you have Griffin Jacks, who I think is going to be even better this year. He's been working it up at Driveline. So he throws like 105 now or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm on board. 100%.
Buy your stocks.
Buy your stock, yeah.
Please. But I think what also you have, Caleb Thielbar, he should have gotten more love and like national recognition last year. I think Jorge Lopez is probably going to bounce back. I just think half season, weird stuff. Don't buy it. He is too nasty to not figure out that the ball goes in the strike zone and then let everything else just carry what it is. But I think Giovanni Moran, especially, if they decide to give him a bigger role, which I don't know why they wouldn't, I think he's going to really kill it. I mean, that changeup is just, what do you do with it, right? All you do is swing and miss at it. And he threw more strikes than I was expecting. And I think he's going to be really good. And here's the major one. Here's the one that's going to lose all the followers. I think Emilio Pagan isn't that bad. I'll say it. He's not that bad.
You heard it here.
Now, okay, so here's another thing. I've been, as a way to sharpen my writing skills, I've been going back and writing post games for every Twins game that the last played in the last season. And at least 10 times, I believe it's now, Emilio Pagan blew the game against the Cleveland Guardians.
Yep.
So that sucks. That's unfortunate. But I just don't see it happening again. Do you remember in 2018 when I think they set a record for amount of times walked off in a season? And then what happened in 2019? Everything was fine. Oh, what a lovely year it was. Can we go back? But it's that same kind of logic where it's like, okay, this was such an extreme outlier of like, I'll straight up call it bad luck. I'll call it that. There's a good chance it's not going to happen again. And you look at how he performed in low leverage situations. He just ate hitters for breakfast. I think if they keep him lower in like that fifth or sixth head on the totem pole, I think he's going to be just fine. It's going to be like, you got to find someone else to complain about, right? You can't blame all your problems on Emilio Pagan. So I think it's going to be a solid bullpen.
That was my line. He can't possibly be worse. He just cannot possibly be worse. Because as you said eloquently, he's not going to be pitching in those high leverage spots. Fingers crossed, nobody, we're not losing 5-6 relievers.
Knocking all across my desk right now.
Knocking all across. If you want to hear MVP picks from Matt, Cy Young, breakout prospects. Last year, Matt picked Emmanuel Rodriguez, folks. So I think you're going to want to hear his breakout prospect for 2023. Matt, thank you. And we're going to chat soon. Friday's episode is going to be filled with Matt's preseason picks and mine as well. Coming up next. Thanks, Matt.